Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AskMe People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
All right, we got 23 college football games that I'm going to go over and give you a pick on. These are not my official plays. You can find those at the BitUS College Football Show. But hey, let's go on and get into it for week number 4.
Can you believe it? It's football. I've been watching it for 40 years.
Are you kidding me?
You're listening to Winning Cures Everything.
Game day, baby. Wake up or get out.
Here's your host.
A confident young man. A superb athlete.
Gary Sagers.
All right, we're going to fire things up. First off, let me tell you, bettingcfb.com. You can go be a member over there, $5 a month, $50 for the year. That's where I give out my early plays. That's where I give out official plays anytime I make them. Sometimes I'll make them right before a ball game, whatever. It'll be emailed directly to you. I also do bonus podcasts over there as well, just whenever I can get around to it. But it's a lot of fun, and I'm a little more open, we'll say, with the people that are paying members over there. But I do have a good time. The membership has grown significantly, so I certainly appreciate you guys that are members over there. If you've not already, subscribe to the podcast, subscribe here on the YouTube channel, and let's go on and get to it. Let's go ahead and get to it. Ready to rock and roll. Starting off with game number 1, South Alabama goes to App State on Thursday night. App State, a 7.5-point favorite. Consensus total of 64.5 on this one. As you can see, my stats model has got this right on the number. App State minus 7.46. You start diving through some of this, and there's no real discernible difference other than the current strength of schedule for App State is number 34. The current strength of schedule for South Alabama is number 124. There's a big difference there. So strength of record certainly plays into this, but just raw PPA numbers, South Alabama number 38, App State number 121. That App State defense, to this point, has not been very good. East Carolina turned the ball over a lot. App State still found a way to win that game. So when I look at this, my power plus stats model has got App State as a 1.8-point favorite. The stats model itself has App State as a 7-point favorite. This South Alabama offense with Gio Lopez is legit. They are a legit thing. Major Applewhite and Rob Ezell, they have got something cooking there. They've certainly got something cooking. I don't know much about the defense over here. Can't really stop the pass. That's not good against Joey Aguilar and that App State offense. But I think that South Alabama can stay in this game. I think they can score with App State. So give me South Alabama plus the 7.5 there. Moving on to Friday night. Stanford goes to Syracuse. Syracuse is an 8.5-point consensus favorite. Total is 57.5 on this one. And, of course, you can see the numbers here. Pretty in line with what it's got. Now, 8.5 looks a little bit high. But stats models got Syracuse minus 7.13. Power and stats has got Syracuse minus 7.75. All right there around the 8. I'm curious. Stanford, number 51 in PPA margin. Stanford is number 92. The Stanford defense, not great against the pass. That's certainly not good when going up against Kyle McCord and that offense. But even still, on the other side, the Stanford offense, not a lot to write home about, right? So Stanford 1-1 against the spread and straight up. Syracuse 1-1 against the spread, 2-0 straight up. you look at the five factors, you look at all this different stuff. Yeah, it certainly points towards Syracuse, even at that 8.5. But I found a Stanford +9 in the market. And I think that's the direction that I'm going to go because I trust Troy Calhoun here. I think his rushing offense might be able to confuse Syracuse. We saw Ohio have a good rushing attack against Syracuse. Georgia Tech, I think, was going into a buzzsaw there. So that's the way that I'm going to run on that one. So give me Stanford +9 on that. We move on to later Friday. Keep writing my times down. San Jose State goes to Washington State. Washington State fresh off an Apple Cup victory. Washington State 11.5-point consensus favorite, total of 55.5 on that. Stats model has got Washington State by 12.8. However, the power rating plus the stats model has got Washington State by 9.52. This is a tough scheduling spot, right? Short week after winning the Apple Cup. That was a huge game for Washington State last week. San Jose State, don't really think too much about them. San Jose State's only played the number 125 current strength of schedule in the country, but their defense has been pretty awesome, honestly. So this is strength-on-strength kind of stuff here. Number 26 in PPA per drive for San Jose State's defense. Washington State, their offense, is number 36 PPA per play, but number 58 in PPA per drive. So when you start looking at scoring opportunities per game and then points per scoring opportunity, Washington State gets inside the 40 a lot, but they're not great at finishing those drives. Turns out, you know, San Jose State pretty good at keeping people from getting inside the 40, but once they get in, they're not quite as good at stopping the opponent. On the other side, it's tough to see a Ken Niumatalolo offense not be able to run the ball. They're number 134, dead last in PPA per rush, number 126 in rushing success rate, but they only run the ball 44.21% of the time. Craig Stutzman is their offensive coordinator. He runs kind of this, it's not a veer and shoot, it's more, it's like a Nick Rolovich used to run it at Hawaii. We'll call it that. So this is certainly different than what Ken Niumatalolo is used to running. I think the schedule spot certainly plays in here. Short week after the Apple Cup, San Jose State getting to play against Washington State here. It seems like a big game for San Jose State, even if it's on the road. I found a 12 out there. I'm going to take San Jose State plus the 12. Carrying on. Oh, man. Rice travels to Army. Army currently a 5.5-point favorite. That thing opened, I think, at 3.5. Well, at 3.5 over the summer, and then it was Army -6.5. It got all the way down to 4. It started to get bet back up. My numbers love Army here. Rice has not been good. Let's just say that. Rice has not been good. The defense is the best part about them. Defense number 46 in PPA per drive allowed. Army's offense is number 3. Just raw stats, PPA per drive. Now, Army has played the number 123 strength of schedule. Rice has played number 108. But Rice has gotten absolutely beaten down by some of these teams. So, when you look at it stats-wise, Army by 10 or 10.5. Power and stats, I've got Army by 7. Rice is good at defending the pass. But Army passes the ball less than 9% of the time. So if you're good at defending the thing that they don't do, then that's one thing. Army running the ball, they run the ball 91.23% of the time. They are number 6 in PPA per rush. Rice's defense is number 60 in that spot. Now, Army, terrible field position, doesn't seem to matter. They're number 118 in scoring opportunities per game, but they're number 3 in finishing drives. So that is something to pay attention to because Rice can't stop people from doing that. Rice's offense, as bad as Army's defense has looked, which is number 86 in PPA per drive up there, as bad as they've been, they're not as bad as Rice's offense. And that's kind of terrifying. Rice is throwing the ball almost 70% of the time. But Army, I mean, they're number 112 in PPA per pass. Rice, even though they throw it 70% of the time, they are number 130 in PPA per pass. So that's definitely not good. Havoc rate, about the same. Passing explosives is about the same. Five factors rank, plus talent. You know, Army 57 and Rice number 79. Rice is not good out of the gate. Number 123 in first half point margin. I'm riding with Army on this. So give me Army minus the 5.5. And that'll take us into game number 5. Charlotte at Indiana. And Max Brown is not going to play in this game for Charlotte. And I think they've still got a couple other guys that are out as well. That ain't great. Right, the Charlotte team is not very good. I'm kind of surprised at the number here. Indiana favored by 28.5, total of 48.5. That's moved up from 27 all the way through 28.5. A low total, that many points. Typically, you want to side with the dog. However, Charlotte is really bad. Indiana, raw numbers, number 7 in PPA margin. I mean, that's insane. Charlotte is number 120 in PPA margin. Charlotte's offense has been atrocious. Indiana's offense has been awesome. Curtis Rourke, I think they call him the Maple Missile. I think that's what they're calling him now. I'm good with that. I like that team. I like that nickname. Number 4 in offensive PPA per drive, number 29 on defense. Indiana has been flattening teams. They destroyed UCLA on the road last week. Maybe you come home and you get a little lackadaisical. Maybe. But, I mean, my stats model's got Indiana by 52. It's got Indiana. The power rating plus stats has got Indiana by 38.5. I mean, what are we looking at here? Indiana is better in every facet of the game. Like, this is not... I shouldn't have spent this long talking about this. Indiana, minus the 28.5. I was hoping for show purposes to get a 28, but regardless... I think it'll be just fine. It'll be just fine. Let me tell you, right quick, make sure to check out Three Dog Thursday on Thursdays here on the channel. I should be back on with TJ again tomorrow, and we talk only underdogs on that show. And obviously, I've got a lot of dogs in this segment here, but I typically like dogs anyway. So, and not the furry, fuzzy things like the underdogs. I like betting on dogs. That's the way it goes. All right, like the video, if you would, so kindly. All right, carrying on, let's move it to our next game. And readjusting. There we go. Boom. All right. Florida at Mississippi State. Florida is a 6 point or 6.5 point favorite, consensus total of 57.5 on that. And my numbers on this are weird. But at the same time, the strength of schedule probably plays into that pretty significantly. If you look at this matchup, every number I've got leans Mississippi State here. Mississippi State favored by 5 in power rating plus stats. Stats model has State by 10. The power rating is actually closer than you would think. It's got State 25.8. It's got Florida at 25.64. I mean... Mississippi State got destroyed by Toledo, but how much of that was just mistakes made by that team and a team that's not talented enough to be able to overlook anybody, and State might have been looking ahead to the Florida game coming into Starkville? A lot of people love Florida this week. Florida coming off of getting absolutely embarrassed at home by Texas A&M. You got UCF coming up for Florida. Billy Napier needs a win in the worst possible way. I think both of these teams are in wounded dog mode, wounded animal mode, right? I think that's what Pate calls it. The issue for Florida is that Mississippi State likes to pass the ball a lot. Florida cannot stop the pass. They are not good at creating havoc. Mississippi State is number 15 in passing downs PPA. Florida is number 130 on defense. On the other side, Florida's offense is not great. Now, they have played Miami and Texas A&M, so that probably has something to do with it. But, like, there's nothing to point to for Florida when it comes to stats. So if you're betting Florida, you're just betting that, oh, Mississippi State is bad, and they don't have guys that can compete. Supposed to get a few guys back from injury this week. Think Starkville's going to be pretty fired up. They want to beat Florida. I think Lebby might have a few tricks up his sleeve. I'll trust the stats. Give me Mississippi State plus 6.5 on this one. Next up, Houston at Cincinnati, and Cincinnati is a 3.5-point favorite, total of 47.5 here. This one is interesting, right? Cincy opened 5.5. It's all the way down to 3.5. Line moving towards Houston. Seems to be a little more love for Houston. Houston, number 28 in current strength of schedule, as you can see right there. Cincinnati, number 101. Now, as far as record is concerned, Cincy is 2-1 straight up, 1-2 against the spread. On the other side, 1-2 straight up, but 2-1 against the spread. I'm dying, guys. I'm telling you, it's staying up late to do all this research is killing me. But we're getting through it. We're gonna get there. It's only Wednesday. I still got 2 more days of content. So, the score that I've got predicted here, stats wise, Cincy by 10.5. Not super shocking. This Houston defense is significantly better than we thought it was. Number 7 in defensive PPA per drive allowed. Number 6 in PPA per play allowed. Number 6 in defensive success rate allowed. At the same time, that offense is just, I mean, how do you even score? Like, if you're Houston, the only thing that you can do is get interceptions. They're number 28 in interceptions per pass attempt. But since he has not thrown interception, I like Brendan Sorsby. I like what he's doing at quarterback for Cincinnati. This team is, if Cincinnati gets up like they did on Pittsburgh, there is no coming back for Houston. This offense is not clicking. It is not working. I don't see it happening. So I'm, you know, do you trust Satterfield as a home favorite? Numbers say you shouldn't. I'm going to in this case. I will take Cincinnati minus the 3.5. That's the best number that I could find. But I don't trust Houston yet. That offense is still a bit of a problem for me. All right. Big 12 talk continues. And Kansas heading to Morgantown. West Virginia is a 2.5-point favorite. Total of 57.5 or 56.5 now. This is where you start to try and figure out turnovers, right? Because Kansas is number 127 in turnover margin. And they're number 126 in giveaways per game, but at least they're number 64 in takeaways per game. On the other side, West Virginia, pretty bad. Number 121 in turnover margin. They're number 107 in giveaways, but they're number 99 in takeaways. So they're not great on that yet. Both teams really good in limiting the number of penalties that they get in the game. West Virginia, number 4. Kansas is number 1 over here. Kansas not as good at drawing penalties. We'll say that. Five factors rank. I've got Kansas, number 64. Five factors plus talent. And then West Virginia, number 84. I look at this. This Kansas offense really good at running. Jalen Daniels not great at throwing the ball, but that West Virginia defense makes a lot of teams look really good throwing the football. As far as the offense goes, West Virginia's offense is okay. You know, number 40 in PPA per rush. Kansas's defense, number 52 in PPA per rush allowed. As far as trying to pass the ball, West Virginia, number 72 PPA per pass. Well, Kansas's defense is number 15. Number 23 in pass success rate allowed to number 74. Like, West Virginia is a little bit explosive as far as their passing game, but Kansas's defense, number 23 in passing explosiveness allowed. The reason the Kansas lost against Illinois and against UNLV was turnovers. At some point, that's got to regress to the mean, right? Or progress. Whatever you want to call it. But I'll take Kansas plus the 2.5. It's a little weird to me that this line has not moved. But I like Kansas pretty significantly. Stats model has them by 16, and the Power Plus Stats model has got them by 8. I think they win the game outright. So give me Kansas plus 2.5 there. Again, some of these I'm taking too long on. But every now and then you gotta ramble, right? All right. Ohio at Kentucky. Kentucky a 19.5 point favorite. Consensus total is 42.5. And my numbers are all over Ohio in this one. Now, the current strength of schedule plays a lot into that. Kansas and Kentucky, right back to back. Kentucky's offense is not good. Their strength of schedule is number 14. Ohio's is number 91. Kentucky, number 120 in PPA per drive on offense. Number 121 in PPA per play. Defense is still pretty good. Number 45 in PPA allowed per drive. Ohio, just like standard run-of-the-mill stuff, number 84 in PPA margin. Kentucky's number 91. Now, obviously, different strength of schedule. These are raw numbers. It is what it is. PPA per rush for Ohio, number 19. Like, they're good at stopping the run, and that's what Kentucky does. So Kentucky, number 24 in rushing success rate. Ohio's defense, number 23. You would hope that Kentucky's offense passing the ball would be able to take advantage of the fact that Ohio is not great in the secondary, right? Number 100 in PPA per pass allowed, right up here, wherever that might be. There we go. That part, you would think that Kentucky could take advantage of it, but they have not shown any ability to be able to do that thus far. On the other side, again, Ohio likes to run the ball. Kentucky, good at stopping the run. Here's the kicker. Like, five factors plus talent, Kentucky number 73, and Ohio is number 113. I found a 20 out there. I'm going to take Ohio in this spot. And the reason for that is, one, I mean, the stats are obviously telling me to do that. But two, Kentucky's got Ole Miss on the road next week. I don't necessarily think that they're going to try and run up a score here on the Ohio Bobcats. And I think Tim Albin is still a really good football coach. So give me Ohio on the road. Game number 10, Virginia at Coastal Carolina. And Coastal Carolina at home, the Teal Field, all that good stuff in Conway, South Carolina. Coastal Carolina is a 3.5-point home dog with a total of 55.5 on this one. And as you can see, my numbers love Coastal. Love them. Absolutely all over it. Coastal by 7 or 6.5 when you do power and stats. When you just do stats, it's got Coastal by 9. Yes, we can look and say, oh, but they had trouble with Temple last week. If you go back and watch that game, they were running as vanilla an offense as they could. They were not interested in trying to run it up on Temple. They were saving stuff for, I would assume, this game. You look at what they can do running the football. Coastal. They are in a spot where they are going to be able to run the football on Virginia. As far as passing, they don't pass it very often. 34% of the time up here. But they are number 64 in PPA per pass. There are spots. If Virginia was able to actually create havoc and actually get pressure on the quarterback, then that would be one thing. But Virginia is number 101 in that. Coastal is number 4 at defending havoc. On the other side of the ball, Coastal's defense ain't bad. Number 40 in PPA allowed per pass. Virginia's offense is number 32 when it comes to passing success rate. I mean, it's kind of boom or bust. You're not going to get a bunch of sustained drives out of Virginia with Anthony Calandria at quarterback. But they're not exactly explosive either. And so that's interesting, right? But passing downs PPA for Coastal, they're number 1 on defense. Now, the difference here, Coastal number 126 strength of schedule, and Virginia is number 74 thus far. But I've got Coastal as a better power rating than Virginia, and they're at home. Five factors plus talent. I've got Coastal number 48. I've got Virginia number 75 thus far. Coastal is 3-0 straight up, 2-1 against the spread. Virginia 2-1, 1-1 against the spread. I need to look into those numbers. because I thought that all three of all three of their games were lined. Excuse me. This is interesting. I'm taking Coastal. I don't feel like we got to worry about this. Talent could be an issue, but Coastal is pretty good. This Tim Beck hire, I did not think much of it at the time. Seems to be okay. Seems to be okay. So give me Coastal plus 3.5 there. Hey. Let me tell you. You know tickets are expensive. You've heard this before. TicketSmarter.com or the TicketSmarter mobile app. They are going to help you save tickets every single time you want to buy tickets to concerts, to football games, basketball games, NBA season, college basketball is coming up as well. NCAA tournament's going to be here before you know it. You want to go to the national championship, all that. They got all those tickets, all of them. It is an incredibly trusted, secure third-party ticketing service. And I've used them multiple times, and you can use it and save money every time you buy tickets. WCE10, that's WCE10, that is going to get you $10 off an order of $100 or more. WCE20 is going to get you $20 off an order of $300 or more. These things get, I mean, it's very expensive to get into. If you're wanting to go to see Tennessee and Oklahoma this weekend, it's going to cost an arm and a leg. It'll be like $500 for two tickets. And that's like upper deck kind of stuff. Why not save a little bit of money every time you do it? Yeah, this is not a one-time sign-up thing. Every single time you go, you can use those promo codes. WCE10, WCE20. It's going to save you some money. So do yourself a favor. Think smarter. Ticket smarter.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
All right. Moving along. Where are we time-wise? All right. We're doing okay. We're doing okay. Hey, like the video while you're at it. I'd appreciate that. Arkansas State at Iowa State. Arkansas State only lost by 10 at Michigan last week. They weren't great. The numbers are certainly not great. I will say that. Iowa State is a 21.5-point consensus favorite at home, total of 51.5 on this one. And if you look at it, my numbers certainly lean with Arkansas State in this spot. Iowa State as a big favorite like that. Iowa State is a... So they opened as a 20.5-point favorite. It got bet out to 21.5. I found a 22 out there. Actually, a couple of them, now that I'm looking at it. So there are spots where you could bet 22 on Arkansas State, and that's exactly what I'm going to do because Iowa State's offense, pretty good. Number 39, PPA margin. The defense is pretty good. Number 28, PPA per drive allowed. But the offense is kind of whatever. So this Iowa State defense, number 11 in PPA per pass. Arkansas State hasn't really been able to throw the football. They're number 42 in passing explosiveness, but Iowa State's defense is number 40 in defending explosives. But on the other side, like they can't run the ball either. But Arkansas State has been feisty. They've been able to find ways to stay in these ball games. You start looking at pace of play, like the number of plays per game. Iowa State, on average, running 56 plays per game on offense. Now, Arkansas State is number one at 82.5. Arkansas State wants to go fast. I don't feel like they're going to necessarily go fast here. I think this could be a shorter game. I think Arkansas State, it pressed that secondary, see if they can get some explosives here and there, see if they can figure something out to try. I'm curious. I'm going to trust the stats. I'm going to trust the numbers here because I do think that Butch Jones has got a fairly talented team, But boy, this was difficult. Very difficult to try and figure out. So give me Arkansas State plus the 22 on that one. Next on the board, let's go to Annapolis, where the Memphis Tigers are visiting the Navy Midshipmen. And Navy currently a 9.5-point home dog. Total of 50.5 on this one. And my numbers like Navy. Surprise, surprise. A Memphis game against Navy, and my numbers like Navy. That's the way it goes. That is the way it goes. Stats model has Memphis by 7.7. Power and stats has got Memphis by 7. I still think Memphis probably wins the game, but this is the kind of spot where you're coming off a big win over Florida State. Now, I don't know how much of an emotional win that was, because by the time you got there, you kind of expected to win because Florida State has not looked good at all. However, this Navy team is coming off of a bye, and they're at home. They always play Memphis well, and they're 2-0 straight up. Memphis is 3-0 and has covered all three of their games. Navy is 1-1 in covering. Navy, really good first half point margin. Second half, they kind of let off the gas a little bit. Same thing with Memphis. Five factors ranked, though. Like, you start looking at the things that actually matter in a game. Navy number 59, Memphis number 13. That's a huge, huge deal there. So something to pay attention to when it comes to that. So the Memphis defense has actually improved pretty drastically this year. The defensive numbers are actually better than the offensive numbers. If you look, number 39 in PPA allowed per drive on defense, number 52 on offense. Now, part of that might have to do with the fact that they played Florida State last week, and obviously your offensive numbers are going to go down, and your defensive numbers will probably be improved because that Florida State offense was atrocious. But you start looking at plays per game, and somehow, some way, Memphis running less plays per game than Navy, which I would have never expected that. Net points per drive, both teams really good. The difference here, Memphis has played the number 75 strength of schedule. Navy's strength of schedule is dead last. Dead last. So, I think at 10.5, I probably would have taken Navy. Numbers certainly say to, but that ain't the direction I'm going to go. I'm going to trust Memphis minus the 9.5. I think they come out guns a-blazing here. So Memphis minus 9.5 for me. Continuing on the afternoon slate, and UCLA travels to Baton Rouge. I don't think you can actually say Baton Rouge without tossing a little on it, right? Maybe I'm wrong. So Baton Rouge down in Louisiana. LSU is a 24.5-point consensus home favorite there. 56.5 is the total. And UCLA is way bad. This is not a good football team at all, which is why the number has gotten out to this point. Indiana thrashed them last week. I'm talking beat them mercilessly. That's what Kurt Cignetti is. And my initial thought, now, my numbers here, LSU minus 10.5, power rating plus stats up at the top has got LSU minus 9.61. I don't think that I trust these numbers. The power rating here, just raw power rating, would have LSU favored by 9. Still some priors built in there, obviously. But look, the passing defense for UCLA is terrible. The rush defense is okay. We saw South Carolina last week, and LSU started to figure out their running game a little bit. But they're still only running the ball 37% of the time. Had to throw it a lot last week, for sure. Field position, LSU's better. But that LSU defense is, I mean, it's really bad, too. Number 123 in PPA per pass allowed. Number 101 in PPA per rush. But if you look at the other side, UCLA is not good at any of that. I'm talking they are bad, bad. Neither of these teams has actually covered against the spread, so there's no good trend here to, like, get you in a good spot. I don't feel great about it, but I'm going to take UCLA plus the 24.5. Because that number, I think, got outrageous. And LSU, this is great podcasting, but let me look and see who LSU has next week. LSU plays South Alabama next week, so that's good. That's all right. What about UCLA? UCLA hosts Oregon next week. This is the stretch for UCLA. Indiana at LSU, Oregon at Penn State. I feel like, so everybody has gone LSU. I'm gonna go the opposite direction. I'm going to go UCLA plus the 24.5. And then hold my nose and pray. Again, this is not an official play. This is what I would do with the game if I had to bet it. My official recommendation would be don't bet this game. If you want my official plays, go to bettingcfb.com or the BetUS College Football Show every Tuesday and Wednesday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. That is the best time to do that. All right, we carry on. Moving to the Big 12. I got to pick up the pace. Again, I spent too long on a game. Who would have thought? Arizona State travels to Lubbock to take on Texas Tech. And Texas Tech put a beating on North Texas last week. But Texas Tech favored by 3.5 here. Total of 59.5 on the game. My number, stats-wise, loves Arizona State. My power rating plus stats loves Arizona State by 7, by 7.8, so close to 8 points. Power rating, just raw power rating, actually has this closer to a pick 'em. It's kind of surprising, right? So you see there, 2.5 in favor of Arizona State, roundabout. Very interesting numbers. The Texas Tech offense is number 21 in offensive PPA per drive. They are 2-1 straight up, 1-2 against the spread. On the other side, 3-0 straight up and against the spread for Arizona State. They have looked significantly better than they were supposed to. So, something to pay attention to with that. Arizona State's defense, really good against the rush. These numbers are a little bit skewed because Taj Brooks missed some time with an injury. He came back last week. He was gangbusters. Everything's good. The offense, though, passing the ball, Baron Morton, I've been a little bit shocked by. He was better last week. They weren't good at Washington State, so that's something to pay attention to. Here's the kicker. Arizona State runs the hell out of the football. Number 7 in rush rate. They're running the ball like almost 67% of the time. They're number 15 in the country in PPA per rush. So they are really good at it. They do not turn the football over. On the other side, Texas Tech does. Number 107 in giveaways per game. Number 64 in takeaways. Arizona State is number 1 in giveaways because they do not turn it over. And they're number 18 in takeaways. So Arizona State is plus 2 on average in turnovers per game. And Texas Tech is minus 1. And that even includes North Texas throwing them the football so many times last week. And so I look at these numbers, and yes, the strength of schedule is different. Arizona State, number 98. Texas Tech, number 66. Arizona State has also played Mississippi State and Texas State. Texas State on the road. Texas Tech went on the road to Washington State and got their brains beat in. So I'm going to go Arizona State here. I like the Sun Devils. Plus the 3.5 is the best number that's out there right now. So that is the direction that I am going to go here. Carrying on to game number 15. Let's keep it moving. Buffalo at Northern Illinois. Northern Illinois is a 13.5 point favorite. Consensus in the market, 43.5 is the total. And this one's interesting because my number is basically right on it. Up here, Northern Illinois, power rating and stats, it's got Northern Illinois by 14, so 13.99. Stats model has Northern Illinois minus 15.72. Power rating, just raw power rating. If you add in home field advantage, it's probably, or it's actually got Northern Illinois by, let's see, close to like 11. or so. Buffalo has been better than expected. Both of these teams, top 21 strength of schedules. Northern Illinois, number 16. Buffalo, number 21. Buffalo, 2-1 straight up and against the spread thus far this season. Northern Illinois is coming off of a bye week. Now, the spot is interesting because Northern Illinois got a huge win at Notre Dame 2 weeks ago. Did not play last week. Thomas Hammack, the head coach at Northern Illinois, has been on every podcast, every TV show, every ESPN, whatever you want to call it. He has promoted Northern Illinois as much as he can. Does it affect him? I'm going to guess not. But I think Buffalo is sneaky okay, sneaky decent. But I love this Northern Illinois offense. They have got pieces. They have got dudes. Hampton at quarterback is legit. I like this team. I can get a 13.5 out there. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. Net points per drive. Northern Illinois is number 18. Number 18 in the country. And on the other side, Buffalo is number 113. That's a pretty basic efficiency model, right? What is your net points per drive margin? I think Northern Illinois is a better football team. I'm going to take them at minus 13.5 on that. If you haven't already, like the video, subscribe to the channel. Of course, jump in the comments. I want to know what you guys think about these games. You all probably think I'm nuts, but I'm having fun with this. So come on. Come on, let me know. Let me know what you think. Carrying on, game number 16. We might get this done in an hour. Georgia Tech headed to Louisville, and Louisville is a 10.5-point favorite, total of 57.5. The stats love the Cardinals. Love them. Stats model has Louisville favored by 33.08 points. The power rating plus stats has got Louisville by 18.5. When you look at just the power rating itself, it's got Louisville favored by, let's see, about 8 points raw power rating. And then you toss in home field advantage and make it 2.5 for a game like this. 8 plus 2.5 equals 10.5, which is exactly where it is right now. Both teams top 27 in PPA margin, but Louisville is number 8, Georgia Tech number 27. That Georgia Tech defense is not great, but the Georgia Tech strength of schedule right now is number 58. They have actually played legitimate opponents. They beat Florida State. They lost at Syracuse. Louisville has played legit tomato cans. Like, that's it. That's who they've played. They're number 3 in offensive success rate. They are number 16 in defensive success rate. Available yards margin, they are number 10. They are doing a bang-up job there. Georgia Tech on offense, number 11 PPA per pass. They are running the ball pretty well. They're number 46 in rushing explosiveness. Louisville's defense is number 127. That could be a concern for Louisville. Five factors rank Louisville is number 25, and Georgia Tech is number 36. When I look at this, I see a team in Louisville that has played the number 131 current strength of schedule. I don't think they have faced any adversity yet. This one could get tricky. I wanted to take Louisville to start with. I'm going to take Georgia Tech plus 10.5. Brent Key is a magician when it comes to being a double-digit road dog. There's not a number that'll say to do this, but, I mean, maybe sprinkle a little bit on that money line, because Georgia Tech, you are not surprising me again with a win like this. Just letting you know. Carrying on, the Rutgers Scarlet Knights travel to Lane Stadium for a little da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And so, Enter Sandman, Virginia Tech, and the Hokies are a 3.5-point favorite. Virginia Tech, the numbers don't like you. The numbers do not like you, my friend. This is very interesting. Rutgers, stats-wise, favored by 12.15. Power rating and stats has got Rutgers by 4. But when you look at the current strength of schedule, Virginia Tech number 77, Rutgers number 133. That's what Rutgers has played. The second least difficult schedule in the entire country. So, of course, it makes sense that they are number 18 in PPA per drive on offense and number 5 on defense. They are number 13 in offensive success rate, number 34 in defensive success rate allowed. Virginia Tech, on the other side, number 89 in offensive success rate, number 36 in defensive success rate allowed. Available yards margin, Virginia Tech number 20, Rutgers number 4. And whenever you see that, but you don't see good stuff as far as PPA per play and whatnot, then you go to scoring opportunities per game. Virginia Tech is number 40 on offense and number 58 in points per scoring opportunity. So they're not great when it comes to that. They're not great on third down. They're not great on fourth down. Number 80 in offensive touchdowns per game for Virginia Tech. You come look at the other side. Points per scoring opportunity for Rutgers, they are number 18, but they are number 70 in scoring opportunities per game. So they're not getting inside the opponent 40 a ton. But part of that is because they've only played 2 ball games. That might be part of it. So, you know, a lot of people love Rutgers right now. And I understand the market movement. But I think this is the spot where Virginia Tech kind of flexes a little bit and they get back to normal. I think that home crowd's going to have a lot to do with this. Rutgers coming off of a bye, and then they play Washington in a short week. They're playing them on Friday. Virginia Tech played at Old Dominion last week. They got Rutgers here, and then they play at Miami next week. So I guess the schedule spot technically would fit Rutgers, but this feels like the kind of spot where Virginia Tech gets right at home. My numbers say Rutgers. I'm going Virginia Tech. I'll take VT on that. Moving along, and we move to the SEC. Vanderbilt at Missouri. Missouri, a 21.5-point favorite. 52.5 is the total on this one. And I had a whole diatribe last week about how good Vanderbilt was playing. They looked so fantastic. Oh, they were going down to Atlanta to play against Georgia State, and they just 80-plus percent post-game win expectancy in that game, and they lost the game. So what do you even do with Vanderbilt now? I'll tell you this, I'm not going to get off of the Jerry Kill, Tim Beck, Diego Pavia bandwagon. Every now and then, those kind of players are going to lose those kind of games. It is what it is. Would it shock me to see Missouri struggle with a pretty decent Vanderbilt team at home? No. Missouri does have a bye week next week, then they play at Texas A&M the week after that. Vanderbilt, on the other side, plays at Missouri, and then they have a bye week next week, and then they host Alabama on October 5th. My stats model is right on the number, 21.5, right there in the middle. Power rating plus stats, Missouri by 17. I will, here's what Missouri has done best. They are running the ball best. Does Missouri open up the offense more with Kirby Moore now? Or do they wait it out until they have to go to Texas A&M here in a couple of weeks? That's the question. Do they think that they can handle Vanderbilt by still sticking with a very vanilla game plan on offense? They're only number 49 in PPA per pass. They're passing the ball 50% of the time. They're running the ball 50% of the time. They're really good running the ball, number 20 in rushing success rate. They're not super explosive. All the numbers are great on offense, and the numbers are great on defense. But again, current strength of schedule, number 89, that's only come up because they played Boston College last week. These numbers were built on the backs of whipping tomato cans. Vanderbilt, on the other side, beat Virginia Tech to open up the season. Got a win in week 2 after that. Then they go to Georgia State last week and lose. There was some shenanigans going on. Neither team very explosive. Turnover margin. Vandy does not turn the ball over. They're number 1 in giveaways per game, but they're number 41 in takeaways per game. Missouri, number 50 in giveaways per game and number 41 in takeaways per game. So number 17 turnover margin for Vandy, number 41 turnover margin for Missouri. Penalties per game, both are not great. Both really good in offensive red zone conversion percentage, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to take Vandy. I like the Commodores, plus the 21.5. I cannot believe that stats model was right on that 21.5. I mean, that's crazy. Absolutely crazy. I like Vanderbilt. Jerry Kill as a dog, like, it hooked me up, man. Hooked me up. Carrying on, we got an ACC-AAC matchup. And the Miami Hurricanes are headed to Tampa. They're going to take on the South Florida Bulls. And this number was at 17.5 in favor of Miami. It has come down to 16.5 consensus, a total of 65.5 on this one. And the numbers love Miami here. Stats model has Miami minus 36.13. It's got Miami minus 22 for power rating and stats model. Byron Brown is having trouble with passing the football. Now, their current strength of schedule is number 3 in the country. Miami's is number 95. There's a massive difference there. But you look at havoc rate, Miami's defense is number 4 at creating it. They are number 8 in defending against passing explosives. They are number 4 in PPA per pass allowed. The South Florida offense is number 124 in PPA per pass. There were guys open for South Florida against Alabama, and Brown couldn't hit them. Now, they have been pretty good at running the football. Rushing explosiveness looks like it could be an issue here. South Florida is number 8. Miami number 123, so don't be surprised if South Florida busts a few big runs somewhere in there, right? And probably with Byron Brown, et cetera. We'll see. But you start looking at stuff rate. Miami's defense number 1 in stuff rate. They're number 5 in defensive line yards, so offensive line yards allowed, whatever you want to call it. Miami's offense is awesome. They are not running the ball very much, which is to be expected from a Shannon Dawson offense. But they are, like, actually legitimately good. USF has been good at defending the rush. Like, they're number 54 in PPA per rush. They're number 120 in rushing explosiveness. Well, Miami is number 109 on offense, so it's not like they can really take advantage of that. Rushing success rate, South Florida, number 15. They're number 12 in offensive line yards allowed, number 5 in stuff rate. Like, this is actually a legitimately interesting matchup. Now, when you get into the five factors plus talent rank, that's where it gets tricky, because South Florida is number 50 and Miami is number 6. I think we're overthinking this. Miami is legitimately good. I think that after last year, Mario Cristobal just handed over the offense to Shannon Dawson, told him, you know what? You have it. I'm not messing around with this anymore. You can kneel the ball. You can do whatever you think is best. You've got a quarterback now. You have all these weapons, Restrepo, et cetera. I think Miami covers. Easy. Miami does play Virginia Tech next week. But and South Florida has to go to Tulane. So schedule spot doesn't exactly play for anybody here. So I will take Miami minus the 16.5 on this one in Tampa. Moving along. We only got 4 more to go. Only 4, right? Toledo heads down to Bowling Green, Kentucky. They're going to face Western Kentucky, and Toledo is a 2.5-point favorite. This thing opened at 1.5 and has been bet up just a touch. And I was honestly, over in the offseason, I think this was actually Western Kentucky minus 1. So it's moved about 3.5 points, somewhere around there, since the summer. And that's interesting, right? Western Kentucky, the numbers on here really don't matter. Like, at all. And that's the tricky thing, because they're number 120. Western Kentucky is number 127 in PPA margin. But they have faced the number 5 strength of schedule. Part of that is because they played at Alabama to open up the season. Western Kentucky at Alabama, Eastern Kentucky at Middle Tennessee State. And so that's their strength of schedule. Alabama was it. That was the whole thing. The numbers, though, on offense include TJ Finley? They were way better with Veltkamp. Veltkamp against Middle Tennessee last week was 27 out of 30 for 398 yards and 5 touchdowns with no picks. That is insane. It's tough to do that against air, much less in a ball game. So they were, he was good last week. Toledo, I mean, you look at some of these numbers, like they housed Mississippi State. How much of that was a look ahead for State? I see this PPA margin and this defense is, I mean, it ain't good, right? It's not good at all. I think Toledo is a significantly better football team. Number 82 power rating. Western Kentucky is number 104. So just in raw numbers, I've got them as a 6.5-point favorite roundabout. My power rating plus stats has got Toledo by over 10. It's got Toledo by 18. I don't want to think too hard here. So the fact that this is still under a field goal, I understand Toledo just handled Mississippi State. Big program-defining win, whatever you want to call it. And but next week, they've got an off week. They got a bye. Western Kentucky next week plays at Boston College. Okay. This should be easy. Toledo minus the 2.5 there. Right quick, if you haven't, because we're getting to the end, like the video, subscribe to the channel, tell your friends about it, and if you want to be a member, get all that bonus content. One, subscribe to the podcast, because there's stuff over there that you don't get here. And two, make sure and check out bettingcfb.com. We have a good time over there. Come be a part of that community. It's a lot of fun. All right. Cal at Florida State. Florida State is a 2.5-point favorite, total of 44.5. And the Cal Golden Bears have gone from Berkeley to Auburn, back to Berkeley, all the way over to Tallahassee. And next week, they got to go back to Berkeley, I believe, for an off week. Yes, they've got a bye, and then they host Miami. And then they fly all the way out to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And then they host NC State. They host Oregon State. They got a bye week. Then they play at Wake. So it actually chills a little bit after they go to Pitt. But right now, they put in some air miles. We'll say that. They've put in some air miles. I think this is the get-right spot for Florida State. There's not a single number that I could point to that would tell you that Florida State is going to win this football game. They are legitimately terrible. Cal's strength of record is number 4. I guess it means a whole lot to go win at Jordan-Hare, even though New Mexico State did that last year. And they did it because they had their turnover margin, number 1. Takeaways per game, they're averaging 4 takeaways per game. Maybe that's it, because, you know, maybe you could find a way to, I don't know, Florida State never gets turnovers, and they don't turn the ball over much. They just legitimately get beat in these games. If you're going to get a win, if you're Florida State, this has got to be the spot. Like, this has got to be it. There's nothing on offense that, like, passing explosiveness, they're number 7, but they're number 83 in havoc rate allowed, and Cal's defense is number 2 in havoc rate. Florida State schedule, by the way, they play Cal this week, then they go to SMU, they host Clemson, they have a bye week, they play at Duke, at Miami, North Carolina, at Notre Dame, then they get a bye, and then they get to close out with Charleston Southern and Florida. I mean, it could get hairy. Like, you better win this ball game if you're Florida State. Like, this is rough. This is rough. So, all the numbers on here will tell you that you need to bet Florida State, or that you need to bet Cal. But I'm going to go the other direction. I'm going to bet Florida State minus the 2.5 on that. So again, not an official play. My official plays are at the BetUS College Football Show and bettingcfb.com. Go check those out. Next on the board, 2 more games. Northwestern is headed to Washington, to Seattle, and Washington is a 10.5-point favorite, total of 42.5. This thing was Washington 11.5. It got bet down. Now we're going the other direction. Washington PBA margin is number 9. Northwestern is number 74. That PPA is predicted points added, by the way. Washington is actually surprisingly pretty good. They've played a more difficult strength of schedule than Northwestern. They're number 92 in that. Northwestern number 120 in their current strength of schedule. Power rating-wise, number 21 against number 46, but there's only about 4 points of difference there as far as a raw power rating. When you look at the stats model, you start looking at plays per game on each side. You start looking at how efficient each team is, and Northwestern's offense is only number 98 in PPA per drive, number 101 in PPA per play. So that ain't great when it comes to trying to predict a score, etc. But Washington, you know, on the other side, their defense is not terrible. They're number 12 in PPA per pass. Northwestern is number 109. They have got to get this quarterback situation figured out. They're not really able to run the ball well, but I think they will have some success against Washington's defense. The real thing here is Washington's offense is going to be able to score on Northwestern's defense. Northwestern's defense is over 65% of the snaps that they have faced on defense has been a passing play, and they're not great at defending it. Number 92 in passing success rate allowed, number 92 in passing explosiveness. Now, Washington is not exactly explosive, but they are pretty decent. Number 46 in passing success rate, number 17 in PPA per pass. So those are things to pay attention to here. You start looking at five factors plus talent. Washington number 47 and Northwestern number 85. I think this one went the wrong direction. If you're just looking at power rating, it would make sense to take Northwestern. But you got to look at what these teams have actually done thus far on the field a little bit. Once we get to this point in the season, I'm going to take Washington minus the 10.5. Okay, last game of the day. Bowling Green is headed to Texas A&M, to Kyle Field, and the Aggies are 22.5-point home favorites, a total of 52.5 on this one, and this one's pretty easy for me. I know that Reed looks like he is an upgrade. We'll see. We'll see about that, but, I mean, the numbers look fairly decent, right? They're number 34 in strength of schedule. Bowling Green is number 93. Current strength of schedule, number 24 and number 25. So the stat should be just about equal. That Bowling Green defense ain't great. But I would I tend to trust a few of these things. Plays per game. Bowling Green is going at a snail's pace. They're number 101 in the country in offensive plays per game. Defensive success rate for Texas A&M, number 32. Offensive success rate, number 33. That number got bolstered quite a bit last week when they just decimated Florida in the swamp. Just disgusting. But look, net points per drive, number 49 for A&M, number 50 for Bowling Green. Bowling Green's offense is not like world beaters, but they are number 36 in offensive explosiveness. They are number 17 PPA per rush. A&M is number 51. They are number 5 in rushing explosiveness, and A&M's defense is number 130. Is Bowling Green going to win this game? No, it's not even close. When you look at five factors plus talent, you're looking at number 29 against number 95. But Bowling Green is a well-coached football team, and I think they're going to be able to hang in this game. They hung in against Penn State. I don't think they hang in quite the same way here. But when you're looking at A&M, A&M plays against Arkansas, I believe, next week. Yeah. So they're playing Arkansas next week. They got Missouri the week after that. They're coming off a big win at Florida. Scheduling spot, to me, lines up for Bowling Green. They're coming off of a bye week. They've got Old Dominion next week, so it's not even a conference game. Give me Bowling Green. I found a 23 out there. I will take Bowling Green plus 23 on that one to keep it relatively close with Texas A&M. All right. So let's go on and recap here. Let's recap what we got. Write down the time for the recap. You know we have to do chapters on YouTube now. That's the way it goes. All right. Recap. All 23 bets that we're making. South Alabama +7.5. Stanford +9. San Jose State +12. Army -5.5. Indiana -28.5 against Charlotte. Mississippi State +6.5 as a home dog against Florida. Cincy -3.5 at home against Houston. Kansas +2.5 in Morgantown. Ohio +20 at Kentucky. Coastal Carolina +3.5 as a home dog against Virginia. Arkansas State +22 in Ames. Memphis -9.5 at Navy. UCLA +24.5 in Baton Rouge. Got to fix that. Northern Illinois -13.5. Georgia Tech +10.5 at Louisville. Virginia Tech -3.5 at home. Vandy +21.5. Miami -16.5. Toledo -2.5. Florida State -2.5. Washington -10.5. Bowling Green +23. That is going to wrap things up for today. Don't forget bettingcfb.com. Three Dog Thursday is coming up on Thursday. The BetUS College Football Show, we had an absolute blast this week. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. There's a link in the description. Make sure you are subscribed over there. Don't forget to follow me on X. I'm at GaryWCE. I think that's going to wrap it up. Oh, Ticket Smarter. Don't forget about Ticket Smarter. Not going through it again, but you know how it goes. The promo code is WCE10, WCE20. You could save money on whatever tickets you want to buy. With that said, let's get out of here. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. God bless college football, and hopefully, all of your tickets cash this week. Thanks for listening to Winning Cures Everything. Make sure and follow me on Twitter, at GaryWCE. If you want to toss in a question, you can email me, Gary@winningcureseverything.com. Make sure and hit that subscribe button, and we'll see you next time.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.